Ephesians chapter number 6. I want to look at verse number 12 in particular. And we'll start with verse number 10. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight. We're very grateful for the honor and privilege of being in your house. And we're thankful, dear God, Lord, that you've given us another great day, Lord, to breathe your air, and Lord God, to give you glory. And Lord, I ask you for grace tonight, Lord. I pray you'd hide me and let nobody see me, Lord, behind this cross. And I pray, God, that your word would be magnified. And Lord, I pray the Son would be glorified. And Lord, just bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Alrighty. The Bible says in verse number 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And Paul's not saying finally because he's glad he's about done with this letter, but this finally here is putting emphasis on this final little paragraph of or phrases of about this armor. He said, "This, brethren, is very important. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Then he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12 says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Now listen, he says, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I look at that word wrestle there. And you can look at that "we," and you can place, if you're a child of God, you can place your name there. You wrestle. You may not even know you're wrestling, but as you grow older in the Lord, you're going to find out that a lot of your Christian life, you spend wrestling with these evil spirits. And that's what I want to preach on or try to cover tonight, on how to fight a spirit. How to fight a spirit. And Paul, many times in his writings, in 13 books that he wrote in the New Testament out of 27, and many times in that he referred to his walk as a fight or a warfare. And I'm going to read just a couple of them to you here, a few of them. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, as he's talking to his son Timothy in the faith. Verse number 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a," what? "A good soldier of Jesus Christ." And then he goes, verse 4, says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself again the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So we see that Paul is speaking about war. When Paul goes on in chapter number 4 of the same book, 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy, he says, "Listen, I have done what? I have fought a good fight." How many of you fellows in here, how many of you have ever been in a fight, whether it be in grammar school or whatever? Y'all been in a fight, and how many of you had your nose bloodied, your eye black? Amen. Been scraped up and bruised up. And you know what? A fight's really a brutal thing. I mean, when you get in that fight, you don't try to punch, "Well, I don't want to hit him in the eye. I may hurt his eye. You know, I don't want to hit him in his lip. I may break his teeth." Honey, you kick, you poke, you do whatever, grab. You're trying your best to get the upper hand. And the same way, in our faith, we're wrestling and we're fighting And we're trying to get the upper hand on this thing. And notice with me in another place here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, Paul talks about our weapons, 2 Corinthians 10. And I want to lay this foundation for us, and then we're going to get somewhere here in a little bit. But notice chapter number 10 of 2 Corinthians, about verse number 3, we'll see. He says, For though we walk in the flesh, this stuff that you're looking at right now, this stuff that's called skin and bones and blood and guts and all, this is our flesh. And Paul said, though we walk in this flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Isn't that interesting? Don't that match verse number 12 of our text? We don't war in this flesh. This flesh, listen, this flesh here cannot fight a spirit. Cannot attack. It's impossible. Totally. I don't care how much you grit your teeth, how many ugly words you say to him, you're not going to hurt a spirit with this flesh. Just not going to happen. Notice now, he says, verse number 4, for the weapons of our, what? Warfare. Are not carnal, not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And watch this, verse number 5. This is interesting. This is where our battle occurs. I wonder if anybody, he says, casting down imaginations. You know where the devil is going to attack you 99.9% of the time in your Christian walk? In between them ears you got. He's going to get in your mind and he's going to try his best to destroy you through that mind. You say, but preacher, sometimes he shows me things. Well, when you see that, you begin to imagine things. If the devil shows you a bill in the mail, if the devil shows you a problem in your family, if you hear some things, it goes directly to your mind. It goes directly through whatever sense it may be. And you begin to imagine. Therefore, Paul said, casting down imaginations. He says, in every high thing that exalted itself against the, what? The knowledge of God. You know what? You can't go on your knowledge. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and do what? Lean not on thine own understanding. You see, we can't understand. There's no possible way that somebody, and I know there's a lot of smart people in here, I know there's some people that's very intelligent in this room, but I'm telling you, I don't care who it is, if it's Elon Musk, I don't care how brilliant of an IQ, Donald Trump, very smart people, you cannot think on the level of a demonic world. Can't do it. You can't, they see things you don't. Alright? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll show you one that's said in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. As we see as this thing is winding down, this chapter here is talking about Paul is telling these Thessalonians that they're not to be soon shaken. Verse number 2, that you be not soon shaken in what? Mind. Or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. He's saying now, as this day is approaching, as you and I are, we are living on the brink of Jesus Christ coming back and rapturing His church. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm telling you, if you're lost and you don't know the Lord, you'd better get saved because it could happen anytime. We have been blinded by our government. We've been blinded by the media. And we cannot see what's going on in the other world. And we think that everything's okay. But I'm telling you, everything is chaos. And Jesus is coming soon. The stage is set. And you'd better be ready. We as a church, I believe, across America, across the world perhaps, is playing a game. And we're playing kidney weeks with the devil, and the Lord is soon to come back. And it's gonna overtake a lot like a thief. But he says this. He says, verse number 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. And this work here, it is a military term for war. The mystery of iniquity is at war in this time that we live in. It's at war. It's trying to deceive and it's trying to break the faith of people. You know what the devil wants out of you? We know that the Bible says in John chapter number 10 that the thief comes. He comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's exactly what he wants. But what does he want? Does he want your house? Does he want your money? Does he want your job? Does he want... No. He wants your faith. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to keep you out of church. He wants to keep you from teaching your children about Christ. He wants to keep you from praying. He wants to keep you from reading your Bible. He wants to destroy that. Look across the building at the empty pews. He's pretty good at it, ain't he? He says this. He says, remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he may be revealed in his time. Verse number 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, and he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And that is the Holy Spirit there, and he is being gradually pulled away. The devil is on a rampage. Some of you older Christians, you know, spiritual warfare has always been a thing. But it seems like nowadays it's more diverse and it's more on the stage and in your face than it ever has been. It seems like every single day, it seems like my mind is like a... like a basketball that's been blown up too much and it is about to explode because of all the attacks that come on our minds. Anybody else feel like that from time to time? The devil's trying to convince you. The devil's trying to tell you this. He's trying to show you this. He's trying to... all kinds of things. You see people nowadays that's literally losing their mind. Anybody know somebody like that? These people literally that's going crazy today. Do you think that's just a happenstance? No, it's because of the demonic activity in this world today. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, let's go. First of all, we got to know our enemy. We got to know our enemy. The enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're going to look at the devil. The devil, he'll deceive us. He'll distract us, and then this flesh, after we've been deceived and distracted, it'll be defiled. We see our enemy, first of all, back in our text, our enemy is not flesh and blood. All right? Our enemy is not flesh and blood. So we see his raiment here. We see his clothes. What is our enemy clothed in? He is something that you cannot see, but he's something you can feel. I think back to a trip I took to the Philippines one time. Went over there for about 14 days, and I guess it was about 14 days this time. But we went over there, and I took one preacher boy with me when I went, and I was going up in the mountains to preach to several kids, and when I got off the plane, I got off that plane and they pulled me up in the van in front of this hotel. And they literally, I'm not telling you a lie, they literally was an armed guard there with an AK-47, a military man, because it was so dangerous. Across the street from me to Brother Tim was a Buddhist temple. And when we got up to our room, and by the way, they didn't have no glass in the windows. We got up in that room there, and right outside of my window, I could literally reach out that window and touch the walls of it, and it was a Muslim mosque. And that night, everything was fine. We eat supper, everything was good, but that night, about midnight, there was a suppressive spirit that come in that room on me in such a way that I'd break out in sweat, and it was, I'd be shaking, and it went on like that all the way until I filled the pulpit the next morning at 11 o'clock. But they had them horns and sounds and all going off out of that Muslim mosque, and I was a absolute mess. And you know what? The truth is, just as I was there in a big way, the truth is when you go out into your workplace and our kids go out into school, you'd better believe he who led it will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Ghost is protecting us in a way that, but they're still there and they're still prevalent in these places that you go, and you'd better be careful. But notice his raiment. He's not flesh and blood. He's not flesh and blood. But I notice also his reign. The Bible says, but against principalities, his reign. They have dominions. They have places that they're set. These devils, these demons, they have places that they set and they rule and they reign. This world, the devil is the prince and the power of the air. He is the one that he took charge of this world. Now listen now, his reign, but also his reach. It says against powers. You better believe. Now, God is all-powerful. Jesus Christ is all-powerful. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. And I will not be possessed by a devil. But I'm going to tell you something. Lost folks can absolutely, just like the story in Mark chapter number 5, where Legion was possessed with thousands of devils, people in 2023 can be possessed with devils. And multiple devils. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of this Hollywood crowd. There's a lot of the singers that the kids listen to. There's a lot of people that you see. A lot of the transgender people. There's a lot of people that's full of demons. You can believe that if you want to. I don't care. But it's the truth. It's there. And it would probably surprise you as the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis and brush shoulders with and sit down with at your office or go to work with, wherever you go to work with, that's full of the devil. Now don't crack no jokes. I know we all have some that we think's full of the devil. But all jokes aside, be careful, because the devil can transform himself into an angel of light. The devil's not going to come at you with a pitchfork and horn stuck out his head, even though nowadays he pretty much just do it up and in your face and, you know, say, I'm the devil. But he ain't necessarily coming at you because you're smarter than that. In that manner, he'll come at you in a different way. Be careful. He's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. His reach, his reign, his raiment, his rule. Notice what the Bible says. He says, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers of the darkness of this world. He rules the dark places, the places that are shady, the places that people go. You know why most of your corruptness goes on at night nowadays? It's because people are ashamed of it. It is a shame what they're doing. And they don't want nobody seeing them do it. That's the way it works. And so he is a ruler of the dark of this world. So we see his rule and his rebellion, this spiritual wickedness in high places, or this supernatural malice. He intends to inflict harm on you. this spiritual wickedness in high places. So, preacher, we see our enemy, and you need to know who your enemy is. When we look across this building, or when we see that person that we go to work with that's lost, that person that's all tattooed up and all cut up and maybe has crazy ideas, listen, that's not your enemy. The one that's an enemy is the one that maybe has infiltrated their life and possessed them. You understand? Possession. I possess this phone because I paid for it. I own it. And until Christ sheds His blood for He has already shed His blood, but when He shed His blood, He paid the price for that person. They've got to accept it and He'll buy them. We're bought with a price. But until that person accepts Christ as their Savior, they're in the full ownership of Satan. So let's look here. We see how, what, I know my enemy now. It's a spirit. How do I fight an enemy? How do I fight an enemy that I can't see? How do I fight this spirit? How? I can't punch a spirit. I can't slap a spirit. I can't tell a spirit off. I can't trip a spirit. I can't do nothing. How do I fight a spirit? Let's look at it. He goes on. He says, because of all of this in verse number 12, he says, wherefore? Wherefore? Wherefore, verse number 12, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God. It's very important. I'm going to tell you something. I could sit here all night. I literally could sit here at 12 o'clock and tell you stories about these evil spirits. And many of the older Christians here in here could too. They could tell you about encounters with these things. When you see them, you learn them and you know what you're looking for. You can see them just as plain as a face in the mirror. You know who it is. Listen, and we see that we better be careful because they're there not just to take up time and not just for entertainment, to make you trip and fall and say an ugly word or make you drink or make you take drugs. They're not there just to do that. They're there to destroy you. And you'd better be careful. They're there to destroy your home. They want to destroy your kids. They want to destroy everything about you. They want to wreck you. So first of all, I believe Paul would have us to take a stand. Verse 13, wherefore taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Notice that, boy, and it's all kind of things here popping out. In the evil day. You better be, listen to me, there's going to be an evil day. It didn't say the evil days. It said the evil day. There's going to be an evil day that approaches you. And you'd better have everything from the armor of God. There's going to be a testing day that'll come about you. And you better have the armor of God that you'll be able to withstand. In this time, he said, take the whole armor of God. He says this, and having done all to stand. So we got to take it. What do we stand on? We got to stand on our foundation. What is our foundation? Our foundation is that of Christ Jesus. We see that over in 1 Corinthians. If you'll write these down, I'm not going to have time to go to them. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 9 through 11, for no other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, than that of Christ Jesus. So if I'm going to withstand, if I'm going to stand, if I'm going to fight an enemy, if I'm going to gain any ground on this enemy that drives me crazy and whispers in my ear and won't let me go to sleep at night and drives me insane, I've got to find somewhere to plant my feet. And you'd better not plant it anywhere but on Christ. Because He is the only one that I've ever known, ever read about. Nobody can conquer Satan except Jesus. When He went on Calvary's cross, He crushed His head. He got the victory according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He is victorious over Satan and over death and over hell. He won the victory, and stand on Him and He will see you through. How do I fight an enemy called a spirit? We got to take a stand on our foundation. We need to take a stand on our faith. Jude, verse number 3, he said he was going to write about the common salvation. I'm paraphrasing, but he said it was needful for me to write about thee, that we earnestly contend for the faith. The faith. I love listening to Brother Mike Bagwell. He said the faith that's mentioned in this Jude here is nothing less than the Word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is that? That's this right here. You want to know what your faith is? It's this. This is our faith. 110%. This is what we believe. This is our faith. Stand on your faith. Stand on your faith, on your foundation. But also, I believe we must stand, verse 13, but verse number 14, I believe we need to be smart. I believe we need to be smart. You know, His Word, as you and I fall, His Word is our cleansing. If we look over in chapter number 5, right there in the same book, Ephesians, verse number 26, we see that we're washed by the water of the Word. Now, here is where the devil would love to get you. And I want you to understand that you're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do things, and he's going to get in your ear. Listen, you're going to do something tomorrow, and you're going to feel like a dirty dog. And you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to get on your shoulder, and he's going to say, "You probably ain't even saved." He's going to get on your shoulder and say, "I can't believe you do that. You have no business getting up and singing. You have no business getting up and praising the Lord. You need to keep your mouth shut because you just dropped the ball." But you know what he said in 1 John chapter 1? "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I'm going to stand on His Word. I'm going to stand on His Word. You know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to stay down. "A just man falleth." How many times? 7 times. And he gets back up again. You know what you've got to do? You've got to get up. We living in times to where there's something to trip us up on every side. We're literally walking in a dark world. And something is going to trip you. But when you trip and fall, get up for the glory of God. Don't listen to that garbage. Get up. You're a child of God. Ask the Lord to forgive you of that sin and to help you to stay away from it and never go there again. And don't do it. We've got to be smart. Notice he says, "Stand therefore having your," what? "Loins girt about with truth." What is the truth? The Word of God. His words are cleansing, but His Word is our comfort. Psalms 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy what? Thy what? Thy rod and thy staff." There's that two-edged sword. That rod of correction and the staff of guidance. "For thy rod and thy staff do" what? "Comfort me." Not only is His Word our cleansing, but it's also our comfort. Ain't that a blessing? You know what? I can go to this Word right here. I can get in this Word after I've had a tough day, after I've had a battle. And boy, I can get in this Word and I can finally find some solace. I can find some comfort. I can find a little bit of peace. And you know what? I can also find some comfort. Listen now, moving right along. Moving right along. We must be smart. But also I believe in verse number 15, I believe verse 15 would say we need to be strong. We need to be strong. And he says, have your feet shod. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As you and I are in this world, we do need to have our feet planted and we need to be settled on some things. You know what? You and I, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And you know what? We don't need to be double-minded. We need to be settled on some things in our mind, on what we believe. I need to be settled, period. No matter what happens, no matter who comes and tells me this or tells me that, I need to know what I believe. You know, I need to find out, Brother Ken is my pastor, and I love Brother Ken. I trust his judgment. But you know what? I listen to him, but I listen to the Holy Ghost, and I need to know what Jamie Rollins believes. You see, I'm not going to heaven on Brother Ken's faith. I'm not going to heaven on my mother and my daddy's faith. They fine people, but I'm going to heaven on Jamie's faith. And I need to know what I believe personally, because when it all boils down, that's what it's going to fall back on. So what do you believe? What are you settled on tonight? Are you settled in the Scriptures? You know what? We need to be settled. We need to be strong by, first of all, by separation. You and I need to be separated for some things. We need to be separated. There needs to be some boundaries in our lives. We need to have some boundaries that I'm not allowing myself. You know what you need to do? You need to be the boss of you. Too much in my life, I feel like getting up under this pulpit. I don't know why the Lord's making me preach this. Somebody that really knows about this ought to be preaching, but I feel like a lot of times the devil is my boss and his little peon demons. Because a lot of the times he tells me what to do. Am I the only one? A lot of times I am dumb enough, Brother Tim, to listen to him. He'll whisper in my ear and he'll convince me this and he'll convince me that and he'll tell me to do this and I do it. And I mess up. But we need to take the throne back. Need some separation. Whatever happened to, I don't know what, you know, this day and hour that we live in, 2023, seems like nobody's separated and sanctified anymore. What happened to that? Not only separation, but be strong by preparation. Be prepared. Be prepared. We oftentimes go before these big companies and do presentations for bids and you know, a lot of money's on the table. And we go before them and we do a pitch, is what we call. And we present this, you know, what we'll do for such and such money and yada, yada, yada. And we go before them with this and we pitch it. And you know what? It'd be crazy to go into a place with executives all around and stand there and not be prepared. You know what? We go out of these doors and we go out of our house doors every single day into a world of principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in what? High places. And we are unprepared. That's why we get taken a lot. It's why a lot of Christians nowadays are literally just throwing in the towel. I'm telling you like it is. There's a lot of people that used to be strong in the Lord that tonight are sitting at home in a recliner watching TV. I'm telling you. Because they faced verse 12 unprepared. I know what I'm talking about. It almost got me. And I'll tell you, if we'd be honest in this room here, I'm talking, this is the cream of the crop in this church, I would say. And I know there's some that's missing, but I'm probably going to say that this is the cream, some of the cream of the crop of the whole United States. And I'll guarantee you that you went around this room here that each and every person that's been in this faith for 20 plus years, they could probably tell you that there's been a time in my life when my faith was tried to the point where I just about hung it up. Is anybody with me on that? But I'm glad what the Lord told Simon Peter. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fails not. I wouldn't be here. I'm just telling you flat out like it is. If they wasn't somebody interceding. Romans 8 wasn't in the Bible. Verse 26. If it wasn't in the Bible, I would not be here tonight. Hallelujah to God. We're on a lap of building. Alrighty. We've got to be strong by being separated, by being prepared, and by meditation, preparation and meditation. Boy, we need to meditate on the right things. Where's your mind at? Be careful with your mind. Remember where the battleground is. Where is the battleground? Where is it at? Is it my home? Is it my work? Where is the battleground at? No, the battleground is right in here. The battleground is right in here. What is that old song that the kids sing? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you walk. Oh, listen to me tonight. Be careful. The battleground's in your ear. Be careful what you think about. Think on these things. Be careful what you meditate on. Because there's a real devil. And I'll say this. Everybody knows my wife, me and my wife's story, and my kid's story. 2015, we was soaring. Soaring. Close to God is, I don't know if I could get any closer. I could tell you stories, but I don't even know if you'd believe them. But in 2016, our life was wrecked. Wrecked. And I mean crash and burn. All because of the evil day that approached. I was at my strongest. You know what? Be careful. If I can't do anything else, I want to warn you. I want to warn you because I love your family. And I see what the devil is trying to do. He'll sell you a bill of goods. He'll sell you something and give you something and make you think it's shiny and pretty and trade it to you for your wife, trade it to you for your kids, trade it to you for your sanity. He's a liar and the father of lies. Don't let him lie to you. You've got, listen to me and listen close. You've got the best thing that's ever been seen by a pair of eyes right here tonight. You've got a Holy Ghost-filled church. You've got a godly pastor. And if you're fortunate enough to have your spouse here, if you're fortunate enough to have your kids here, you ought to fall on your face before a thrice holy God and praise Him till about 3 a.m. that He has blessed you and allowed you to be in this place. I'm telling you like that because there's a lot of people that can't say that. We must be strong. We must be shielded. I'm about done. I got 5 more minutes. You all right? We must be shielded. We got a shield. Boy, there's all kinds of things. If you want a good book to read, if you like to read, I'm going to give you a good book. It's a book, Christians in Complete Armor, by William Gurnall. William Grant. You can get it on Amazon. It literally is about 1,500 pages, and it covers these six verses right here. It's all it covers. And it is amazing. But I'm going to tell you this. We must be shielded. He said there in verse number 16, above all, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, he wants you to guard your vitals. He wants you to guard the things that can kill you. You see, you get your hand cut. Yeah, it can get infected. You can die from it, but you're way less likely to die from an ingrown toenail than you are from somebody sticking a knife in your heart. Shield of faith. Shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. We got to keep our faith shielded. We got to keep our heart shielded. We got to keep our head shielded. And you know what? You can shield that. The shield of faith. You can shield that by remembering. Remembering. Your faith is strengthened by looking at yesterday, how God come through for you. And if He did it one time, He'll do it again. And there's going to be 1,000 times in your life where you feel like God is nowhere around you. There's going to be 1,000,000 times where you feel like God has forsaken you, but it's a lie to hell. He is ever more present. He said He'd never leave us and never forsake us. Even on your bad days, in your worst days as a Christian, when you were engulfed in sin, the Holy Ghost of God was right with you if you were saved. Ain't that something? So don't believe the devil's stinking lies. He's with you. He's there. And if you need your faith shielded, you need your heart shielded, you need your mind shielded, think back to 2015. Think back to 2012. Think back to 2010. Think back to all the way back to the day where you was when the Lord saved your unworthy soul, and say, He loved me then, and He loves me now, and He'll always love me. Hallelujah to God. What a Savior we got. Whew. And lastly, I love the end of verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know what you ought to do? Every once in a while, I believe Paul said, yeah, you need your feet shod. You need the breastplate of righteousness. You need all these articles of this clothing. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. Don't forget your sword. Everything else is for protection. But this sword, it's two-edged. It can protect you, but it also is an offensive weapon. You know what you ought to do every once in a while? You ought to swing your sword. You know what? In this day and hour, I don't believe there's many Christians anymore swinging their sword. Hey, this is not only Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is not only just protection, make me feel good, and it does a blessed job at that. It's not only something to make me comfortable. But this right here conquers. This right here is a weapon. You can take this right here, and I've seen Pastor Denver Undalis. I don't know if y'all know him. You may know him, but I've seen him face a demon before in the streets over in Cagayan de Oro, Philippines. I've seen him quote the scripture and call down. Well, I'm telling you this right here. The demons are subject to this here. This Bible is not a book that Amazon, it's not just an old book that you get at Barnes & Noble, but this is a living Word of a thrice holy God. It's alive and well, and you better believe it can go on the offensive. Slang, if your kid is getting out of line, if your home is getting in trouble, if your marriage is getting in trouble, if your job's getting in trouble, if the devil is attacking these areas, take it. The Word of God. Get you a verse of Scripture, put it in the grips of your spiritual hand, and swing it at you. Swing it at whatever it is attacking, and watch it flee. Watch it flee. Amen. I love you tonight. Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Oh, God, protect us. Help us, God, to stand in these last days. God, I pray the good Holy Ghost would guard us. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.